Essay 21, Graduate Studies. I regarded Graduate Studies 1971 to 1974 as my reward for the top first of 1971. A Dr. Samuel Williams studentship was riches for me, more than £600 a year. My undergraduate grant was a standard one of about £282 a year, with fees paid. So that restricted me to chips, green peas and salad cream, because like the salt, it was free. Nevertheless, such small sums of money taught discipline, especially as my parents could not pay anything. If not exactly glad to get rid of me, they were at the same time not interested in paying for education in order to get rid of me. This is not to say that relations between them and me were ever bad. It was just that they had never had the experience of someone going to college from the family and did not want to deal with the boring affectations of the middle classes of a small, damp town. In the village at that time, the unspoiled village, we were more cultured than the small town. When I first entered room 262 in the Edward Davis Chemical Laboratories, EDCL, I felt an exhilarating sense of freedom, although all I was offered was part of a wooden bench across the way from an interferometer and a high-pressure cell. Room 262 was a laboratory specially designed for infrared research, and I felt immediately that this was the life for me, not cleaning out the cowshed. I was immediately on my own. My PhD supervisor, Mansell Davis, was well past it, embroiled in perennial committees, and had not prepared for my arrival in any way at all. I remember that he scribbled a few ideas on a piece of paper and ushered me out of his office. Because of his damaged right hand, injured in an explosion, the scribbles were almost totally indecipherable. In room 262, however, there was a sense that things could be done at last and that I was no longer entirely the anonymous servant of a system. Mansell Davis was fundamentally of the same background as myself and was fundamentally a kindly and highly intelligent and cultured man. However, by 1971 he was trapped in a system which made him act as a member of the middle classes. Even his accent would drift from broad Aberdare to pseudo-cut glass and back again. However, he did have the gift of insight, and fortunately for me, allowed me to go my own way. The start of my PhD work overlapped with the last few weeks of the MSc work of Arnold Bayes, a graduate of Witwatersrand, South Africa, so he taught me the use of the interferometer and the Eilert Brothers 4130 computer. At the same time, I learned Algol and the use of the computer to solve difficult problems. Up to that point, I had done everything by logbook, and there were no hand calculators in 1971. The Fourier transform was done with paper tape and a pack of cards. Each time one had to go up the hill to the computer unit to hand in the pack of cards, hoping that the computer was functional. Fortunately, my father had kindly lent me his old car, so I did not have to walk. At the EDCL, there was also a library self-contained within the building, so all the ingredients were there for the methods I still use now, of producing scientific papers to the best of my ability, the basic and only motivation being curiosity. In taking the spectra, there was often a profound sense of excitement, the same kind of excitement as in the discovery of a new continent or island. In this process of discovery, I could share things with Mansell Davis as an equal. We were both scientists in the purest sense of the word. If science consisted of pure discovery, it would be a much healthier pursuit. However, being part of human society, the discovery is cogged into the exigency of the machine, as R.S. Thomas so memorably wrote. I soon began to think of what would happen once my 3 years of PhD were up, and discovered that one had to win a postdoctoral to stay in research. This is the point at which pure science becomes corrupted with careerism, the point at which footprints corrupt the pure snow. In order to win a free postdoctoral, one had to write papers and get them published. So I began writing. At that time, I had to give the paper first to Mansell Davis for his approval, then submit it. As usual in the academic system, the referee's reports were interminably slow in arriving. But despite all these obstacles, the published papers were produced in time to be bound into my PhD thesis, now in the National Library of Wales. There were frequent apparatus outages because the interferometer was an old machine on loan from the National Physical Laboratory. In those intervals, I began to develop original theoretical methods for the first time, and from the outset to learn the discipline of self-checking of theory and its comparison with data at every stage. I found quickly that in order to code a computer, the theory has to be understood perfectly. One of Mansell's ideas was to have me leave Aberystwyth within months of starting my PhD. In order to work with his friend Bo in Nice and his friend Rivaille in Nancy. The visit in 1973 lasted a few months, and despite the chaotic conditions at Nice, I did learn the use of the correlation function and Laplace transform. Nothing was prepared for me at Nice, and Bro just asked me what I wanted of him. At Nancy, things were more organized, but on return to Aberystwyth, I really got going with the use of Algol to transform spectra into correlation functions. The great advantage of the theory of the method is that theory could be brought to bear on the far infrared. These early papers are now in the Omnia Opera on AIAS.us and in the National Library of Wales, and led to the Harrison Memorial Prize and Mildola Medal of the Royal Society of Chemistry. All Aberystwyth had to do was let me work in my own way, but it could not even do that. So now it has no relevance to me and little to Wales. It is just an insignificant college in the world rankings, while AIAS is number one. Millions think so. I may tread heavily, but write the truth. This golden time lasted a few brief months only. From summer 1973 to autumn 1974, before the system forced me out of Aberystwyth on an SRC postdoctoral in 1974 at Oxford. When I arrived there, Rawlinson was again totally unprepared for my arrival, having just arrived himself. I was again asked what I wanted. The answer on both occasions is that I wanted nothing but to stay at Aberystwyth, but did not voice this truth at the time. I won three postdoctorals in open international competition in 1974, all under my own initiative. It is clear that I should have been promoted to tenured lecturer at that point. Normally only one competitive, prestigious postdoctoral is expected, but the exigency of the machine, the workings of human society, prevented that from happening, causing lifelong problems with Aberystwyth. What is really needed in research is stability of environment, and that has been available in the years in which ECE theory has flourished. Mansell again wanted me to go back to work in 1974 for his friend Bo on one of the postdoctorals I had won, an ICI European postdoctoral fellowship. That was a non-starter, and for the first time I stood up to Mansell and insisted on going to the least disruptive locality, Oxford. I realise now that I should just have switched to another department at Aberystwyth because my SRC fellowship was transferable. The acquisition of knowledge at Aberystwyth was embroiled in incredibly bad management, so ultimately one had to move entirely out of the system in order to be a scientist.